Father God, we thank you that you're here with us and that we're with you. We thank you that Jesus walks with us day by day and the Holy Spirit infills us. Lead us to know you more for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Please be seated. We pray in such a way, and just as I've done, and I use Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in my prayer, and you would be forgiven for thinking that there's three gods. And yet we know that there's only one, because he's revealed himself in three different ways, and that's part of the mystery of who he is. And yet, how do we come to church and how do we face life? Do we do it in the flesh or do we do it in the spirit? Do we live life according to what I can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel? As if that's all there is. And obviously, if you're not a Christian, that is all there is. If you don't believe, because you totally depend on what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. But biblically, there's a sixth sense, in a way, and that's the Spirit. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us that may God sanctify you completely, spirit, soul, and body. And it talks about how we're made up of three parts. And all of us can identify with the last two. And it's interesting in the Bible that it puts it in that order, spirit, soul, and body. We can identify with our body. This here, you can feel it. And we can identify to a certain extent with our soul because it's how you feel. And I can make you upset just with words. I can call you things. And I'll not bless you. You'll not like it. I can also tell you stories which might actually put a smile on your face. Or I could even come and privately talk to you, or somebody could come and privately talk to you and tell you the most wonderful news, and you'd be going, yes! And then turn around and just go blank face and go, sorry, that's a whole pack of lies. And you'd be ready to kill them. Which incidentally, Jesus talked about in that passage in Matthew 5. That even if you thought that, it's as if you did. Now if I asked you, how do you feel? What you don't do is say, well, look here, I need to go away and pray about that and see what the answer is. Because you know exactly how you feel. You don't have to check it out. And if I asked you, are you hurting? Again, you wouldn't have to say, well, look, give me a few days and I'll go and check. No. If your arm's hurting right now, you know it. If you've got a pain in your foot, you know it. If you have a pain in the middle of your back, you're very aware of it. And if any of you do have any pains, you become acutely aware of it because I've started talking about it. And your mind instantly goes to the pain. And you wish I hadn't have mentioned that because that's all you can see right now. That's all you can feel. Because that's the way God made us. But that's only two parts of us. There's a third part, which is your spirit. And your spirit is inside you, and your spirit you cannot feel, you cannot touch. You are not aware in your physical body what's going on in your spirit. The only way you know what's going on in your spirit is what it says in this, the Bible. And yet the spirit part of you is the part of you that whenever you get born again, becomes identical to Jesus. And we started the service about how we come in to worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's a choice, because sometimes when we come to church, we don't feel like it. We feel heavy from the day because it's windy out there and it's wet. Or if you were fortunate to come early, it was dry. But right now, it's wet. And some people are wet and it might be dry again because it's coming in waves. And the last couple of days has been manic. And depending on where you live, you're more aware of it than other people. Because if you're sitting up on a hill, you're thankful that the walls are thick and the glass is firm and the putty or whatever it is that's been used to keep the panes in place is working. Because it's been manic over the last couple of days. But those are all just to do with feelings. And those feelings weigh on us, and we can come in and go, yeah, I have to go to church this morning. Yeah, I hope he says something nice today. Hope the tunes are great. And you can come like that. But the Bible tells us that we're to worship God in spirit. And in your spirit has got nothing to do with how you feel. It's a choice, it's a decision of what the Bible says you are. Because I am a spirit. I have a soul and I live in a body, according to the Bible. And you might think, that's stupid. Well then, you don't believe this. The Bible tells me that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't feel righteous. Well, then you don't believe in this. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, I read about how a choice was being made. Verse 15, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you'll live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." And yes, that's talking to the Jews. And yes, that's a specific promise. But do you believe that for you? It goes on and it says later on, this day, verse 19, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses." And then God makes it very easy. It's like a multiple choice question. Next words he says is, "Now choose life." That shouldn't be a hard question. Sets life and death before you, blessings and cursings. How many people want to be cursed? I don't. How many people want to be blessed? How many people want to die? How many people want to live? Simple. How many people want to walk after the flesh? What you can feel and what you can touch? Or how many people want to walk after the Spirit? That mightn't be as obvious to most people. And yet that's the exact same promise that's here in Deuteronomy, just expressed differently in the New Testament. And you and I make those choices every day. And we have definitely been making those choices in this service. Let's go through the hymns, because that's partly what I've been smiling about. This is the day that the Lord has made. Do you believe that? We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's a choice. Why am I being glad in it? Because my spirit is identical to Jesus. And according to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, I'm filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How can I say that? The Bible says so. But I don't feel happy. Well, get over yourself. If you're born again, then you are full of the love of God. But I don't feel like it. Well, then you're living according to your flesh. And we need to be people who live according to the Bible. And for many people, that sounds hard. How can you do that? Easy. I read the Bible and I believe what it tells me. I'll give you a simple example. How many people here looked in the mirror this morning? It's probably easier to count how many people didn't. Hopefully every single one of you at one point looked in the mirror. Clean your teeth. Clean yourself. Sort your hair. And then not all of us would have been working on the makeup and the lipstick, hopefully. But we all looked in the mirror this morning. And when you looked in the mirror, you believed what you saw. Now you've got to think about this because you're sort of going, of course believe what I saw. Like, don't be stupid. But I've said this before, you have never seen your face before. None of you. You have seen a likeness of your face. Because when you look in a mirror, you believe that what you're looking at is you. And what it shows you is the truth. Now, if you think I'm getting weird, there are fairs, and they were a long time ago, and I remember them, and they used to have these big mirrors, and if you stood in front of it, especially if you're like me, it made you tall and thin, and you're going, great. Because it lied. It wasn't the truth. And there's another mirror that you could look in, and it showed you as being short and fat. Again, the mirror lied. Because it was twisted in a certain way to portray a picture that wasn't real. And because we know that, we look at it and go, oh, that's not real. That's not me. That's not the truth. And yet every single one of us this morning got up and we looked in a mirror. And we believed what we saw. And you've seen photographs of yourself and you believe the photograph. And you look at the photograph and go, yep, that's me. Why? Because I looked in the mirror and I know it's true. But you've never actually seen your face. You can quite possibly see the end of your nose. You think about it. And you might possibly be able to see your eyelashes and you blink and catch quickly. But you've never actually seen your face. You've only seen an image that you look at in a mirror. If you want to know what the Bible says you are in your spirit, you look at it in this. And so the Bible acts like a mirror because it tells me who I am. And just in the same way as I believe what I look in a mirror to see the real me, yep, because like I can flick that and I sort of think it's in place, but I don't know. But when I look in the mirror, I go, oh, you missed that bit. Because the mirror tells you. And in a similar way, the Bible acts as a mirror of who you are in Jesus, provided, of course, you're in Jesus in the first place. But if you're not in Jesus, when you read this, it'll point to him every single time. And because it tells us who he is, when we are in Christ, it's telling you who you are. And so I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body, because 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says so. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then 18a goes on to say, and all things are of God. I believe that. Because it says it in here. And each of us should be coming at it from the same point of view. I'm going to go on about the hymns. So, let's see, hymn 482. Every single one of these jumped out at me because it goes in line. Jesus bids us shine, good children's hymn. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, so we must shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine, first of all, for him. He came for me, died for me. I'll believe him, and I'll go for him wherever he wants me to go. Well, he sees and knows it. If our light is dim, he looks down from heaven to see us shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. I'm able to shine because of who's in me. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit wherein he dwells. And so therefore, when I walk, I don't walk alone. And as I prayed in that prayer, Father, you're here. Why? Because he's in me. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 tells us that the fullness of the Godhead indwells Jesus bodily. The fullness of the Godhead. So if you see Jesus, you see the Father. I'm reminded of that in John 14, 15, where he meets with the disciples and he says to them, you know, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Philip goes, show us the Father. Like, duh. Jesus just told him, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he turned around and goes to him, show us the Father. Where is he? They didn't get it. But we get it now. If you know Jesus, you know the Father. And if you know the Father and Jesus, you know the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's one God. And yet he's revealed himself to us as being three parts or three persons. And so our bodies are full of the Holy Spirit, which means that Jesus is in here and the Father is in here too, because they're all one. How do I know that? Because this tells me so. The Bible. Because when I read it, that's what it shows me. And if these things are new to you or you're uncertain of them, I've just given you the answer. It's in here. It's in the Bible. Read it and you'll know it for yourself. You don't need to just depend on me or any preacher that comes along to tell you. Yes, we perhaps have more time to get into it, but you've just as much time, same number of hours in the day as I have. But it's in the Bible, and the Bible tells us who we are. Jesus bids us shine then for all around. Many kinds of darkness in this world abound. Sin and want and sorrow, so we must shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. And then hymn 606, the one we've just sung. And it came after the gospel reading, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. And I've said this many times before. Is that true? Do we long for him? Now our spirit, in a sense, longs for him because it's identical to him. But our minds are being renewed. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 talk about. Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? In the Bible. In the Bible and meeting with people who are of like mind. Meeting with other people who are on fire for God, who want to open the Bible rather than turn on the telly. Who want to talk about God more than they want to watch what the news is doing, where the world's going. And it's not just so that they get filled up with head knowledge, but because this stuff makes a difference in their lives. Because this is reality, the Bible, and what it talks about. Because when you get changed to realizing how much God loves you and you love him, you start loving other people. You can't help yourself. And it doesn't matter what they do to you. You still continue to love them. Because what usually comes before that is you choose to forgive them. And most of us in our own strength can't forgive anybody. You've got to be kidding. Most of us, our first inclination whenever somebody hurts us is to hit back. Is to fight back. But that's not God's way. God's way is forgive. And you see, the thing is, because Jesus did. Jesus didn't fight back. They put his arms out on a cross and stuck a nail straight through the middle of his hand. And he was God and is God. And he had the power to take it out. And he chose not to. He stayed there. And we are called to do the same, but not in our strength. We're called to do the same in his strength, because he's in us. But we can only do that if we know what it says in the Bible, if we've read it. So as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Not just because he's God, but because who he has revealed himself to me to be. And hopefully those are your words too. To worship him because of who he has revealed himself to you to be. Because when you know him and how much he loves you, you just love him back. That's what happens when people fall in love. Like, for goodness sake, that's what most people were doing on Friday. They were giving gifts and cards or presents and doing dinner or going out for dinner. Why? Because it's Valentine's Day and that's what you do. No, because you love them. Hopefully. But the wonderful thing about God is it's not just one day in the year. It's every day. Every day. He loves you. He loves me. And sometimes we need to let it show. We need to connect the dots and realize that there's a God out there. In fact, there's a God in here. And he loves me. And even though I can't actually feel him, I can't touch him, I can't sense that he's there, I know he's there because this says so. And just in the same way as I look in a mirror and I believe it, when I look in this, I believe it. This is the truth. And what this says about me is the truth. And I believe it. I believe it. Let's pray. Father God, help us to see you for who you are, truly. To know that, yes, we believe by grace through faith that it's a pure and perfect gift that you have made available for everybody. Help us, if we haven't already, to receive it and embrace it, the gift of eternal life in and through Jesus, your Son. And to allow you, him, Holy Spirit, to reveal yourself to us in a real way, in a tangible way. But in a way that's backed up by what the Bible talks about. That when we open our Bibles and read, the words come alive in a way we haven't seen before. And we find it talking about us. and challenging us, but more just encouraging us and loving us. Because that's who you are. You are love. And I thank you that you're in me. I thank you that you died for me. And I thank you, Lord, that I'll know you forever. Not just when I die and go to heaven, but right now, I know you. I pray, Lord God, that that would be the same for every single person in this church today. That they would know you as I do. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.